morning, Mr. Boer.
Good morning, Mr. Shackman. How are you today?
I'm fine, but okay. Just pass it here before you take my eye out.
Okay, but hang on. I still need some on my toast.
Oh, what the hell is in here?
Oh, lucky catch here, Mr. Shackman. That's my silicone gun.
How many times? Okay, let's calm down. How many times must I tell you utility guns and toast, they don't mix?
Mr. Shackman, to be honest with you, I think I finally understand that now.
Good. Okay, in that case, I, as the Lord of the Seven Toast Realms, name this toast the Keep Your Stupid Silly Silicone Gun Away From Toast Special. And let us begin, shall we? Toasting Zion Shaka Shaka Michael Boy. I nearly forgot that, actually.
I wouldn't actually know what you say, because I actually don't listen.
All right, so the research team and I came up with this idea. saw a video. So what we're effectively looking at is it's blocks of wood, they're bolting blocks of wood together. A person's got a drill with what looks like a perspex rectangle or square block at the end of it that's transparent, and there's something rotating in the middle. And what it effectively is there magnets inside this perspex block casing at the end of the drill bit. And as it rotates, it then rotates your, like a nut type element in the wooden block, which then allows you to effectively bolt things together or unbolt things by using the magnet to rotate the nut inside the...
And that's not even a joke. It is a cordless drill with a plastic block with a metal spinning magnet in it. And you basically move this thing around as though it's like a metal detector.
Yeah.
And... it unscrews stuff. That is
so,
flipping incredible.
So effectively you
keep
have...
it away from your pacemaker, kids.
If you want to make your heart beat faster, just put it there. Exactly.
Got a question for you. That thing's obviously fairly powerful because, I mean, it's going through wood that's like an inch thick.
Yes.
You now bring that thing to your toolbox.
Yeah, everything is going to want to go to that direction. I imagine it's the one that gets the special shelf in the...
And I'm imagining the nut in it has to have a north and a south end to it, so that as you spin a magnet past it, there's that. And obviously there will be torque limits.
Because that's exactly it.
A magnet, as nice as a magnet is, it's not the same as a 17 ring spanner.
Certainly. It means that you can't just use a standard nut and a standard bolt. You need specially designed
ones. Okay, so the fasteners are more expensive.
I imagine, so everything becomes far more expensive. And then I don't know what it'd be like after a certain length of time. So say, as you're dealing with a sort of a moisture-rich environment when you're bolting it, screwing it, securing it together.
And something that's on the inside that you've got no access to now gets stuck, yes.
Yes, it rusts, it binds the two pieces together. You literally could not undo that.
Where could a thing like this be really useful? And I think it's for one-time installation, don't bother about
the assembly. You
recycle the entire piece of furniture in a giant chop shop much later on in life.
Yeah. Or maybe ones where you... Exactly. And art sort of installation. Or like fancy furniture and things like that, where you don't want... You drill a hole to put your bolt in and stuff, and then you put a cap over it, but you got to match the cap to the rest of the grain of the wood. Essentially, you don't have to worry about that.
Yes, the Duke of Manchester looks for screw caps in his chair when he sits down and smokes his pipe after bagging a couple of pheasants on their estate.
There's a particular YouTube channel, Blacktail Studios, I think they're called, and he does all woodwork and stuff, and he tries to make it look all neat, and the one big one is...
Definitely all for the hiding of fasteners. There's also a problem with wood, Mr. Shackman, and that's anyone who's owned wooden furniture will know that. And obviously you grew up in the coast where everything is nice and swollen from the humidity. But in Joburg, there are chairs that don't creak in summertime, and then in winter when everything shrieks, your doors fit better.
Exactly.
Furniture now works itself loose, etc. And for particularly antique furniture, you have to sort of tension it up a little bit in winter, but then when the first thunderstorms come, you do have to let it out, otherwise it cracks. Something like this, you might be able to take that up in the design of the fastener. Like I'm imagining
a bit of a give or
a spring-loaded pretension or something like that. So application for a thing like that in medicine, maybe?
Could be interesting. Medicine. Yeah, I think...
I mean, assuming that the bolts or the screws inside your leg don't start ripping flesh as this thing spins, you could...
That's sort of what I'm just sort of thinking of is... You know, it's all very well, your nut can hold, the bolt inside can hold very nicely into your sort of, the sort of casing which forms the nut, as it were. But if that doesn't grip inside your wood correctly.
Yeah. And what about things like pipe cleaning? If you were to run some form of spinning magnet thing with some form of magnetic drip mandrel on the inside, you could certainly then do away with crap tons of shoving and stuff like that.
The thing is, at that point, I would just say, why not just put, make a motor inside your thing that's going through your pipe?
So effectively, is this the equivalent of an external contactless motor?
Yes. Exactly that.
So you're applying the same torque you would. So functionally, it's the same.
Yes.
It's applying a torque for a threaded fastener where there's a pitch which squeezes and squishes and all that sort of wonderful stuff. It's now just a case of the access is completely a new concept.
Yes. Access, and it is restricted to non-metallic elements. Otherwise, you'd create a Faraday cage around effectively your item, I think.
Yeah, I'd imagine, if you were to do something like a TV stand or a computer desk or something like that, you would obviously build the thing and then install your careful electronics and stuff.
Yeah. Interesting idea. I think it's certainly got its applications. Not as much gimmick.
Have you ordered one yet, Mr. Shakeman?
No, as a
gimmicky one for tools.
No. But more expensive items on my shopping list tomorrow. My Christmas list for Santa.
I mean, I always thought that, there's one in the room directly above the dungeon where we work. One of those cool heater mixer things, which is got the magnetic thing for mixing chemicals.
Oh, yes.
And you think, magnetic stuff. I've always thought that, if you are busy cooking pasta sauce, etc., yes, there's some flair about holding a wooden spoon that is far too big for what you're cooking to make you look all Gordon Ramsay-like. Certainly to incorporate things like that, like a magnetic thing that's built into your eddy current or your gas-type stove where you can put in a stirrer thing and it can cook your custard burning.
I agree. I think the thing is here, the reason that we have to have that, the drill be that separate, or the driving element has to be that separate system. It can't be built into it. Is you'd have to build a motor into something that is locked in and staying there.
Yeah.
With your cooking, okay, you say get a capsule type thing, you throw it in, it ends up being like some kind of weird worm bug thing that swirls around and swims inside your food. It might be off-putting in a way, but as it swirls through, like it basically mixes your food and things. And all you do is you just fish it out afterwards.
I think that's the key thing, is there you'd have to fish it out. Or it would have to basically spin like a spinning top, but be held to the bottom of the thing that it couldn't come out very easily. So there's no chance of anyone. You'd have to make sure that like a kid who cooked something with this thing didn't end up, needing to go to the ER or anything.
It sort of make an interesting set of UHS requirements, because you want it small enough that depending on the contents of your pot.
And for stirring, it's got to reach the corner, so it's got to be wide. I can see a third year tackling this with something where when you install it, you have to telescope it, like that magnificent toy you were playing with yesterday.
Yeah.
Full details, first lecture next year, kids, pay attention.
Yes, they will.
watch and duck. some form of telescoping thing or whatever to do that. But then also, if it was to spin, you'd have to make sure that it was dead center in the pot. Otherwise, that thing would literally jam. And then to overcome, one thing hitting the corner of the pot, now you have to apply more torque to it. And it just becomes this, now you've got a 2 kilowatt stove with a 3 kilowatt stirrer.
I mean, it's
and you know that's true, Mr. Shaker.
No.
Your third years will do it. They will make it happen.
With a solar panel on top of it, even though it's underwater, it's bloody submerged in your broth.
But the whole self-doing thing, you think about it, you could have something which is there to help you stir, and you could have a different type of them. An auto wok, doing the sort of nonsense. But also like auto cleaning, you literally just like put some soap stuff in and this thing just goes for 5 minutes and it's done type thing.
It's a sort of thing of you're adding a lot of complexity if you want to put it for the cleaning side of things. I think it makes it really fun.
And this is all trying to make magnets a part of everyday life, which then
I don't think I'd even take it as a magnet. At that point, I'm seeing it more like it's a pod capsule, the sort of thing I'm imagining. So there's two sides. The one, when I first thought of stirring, I thought it's just the rotating of the fluid And the reason we stir is also to ensure heat dissipate or heat uniformity. The other side to it is to make sure you don't get...
to mix up the dense stuff and...
And that you don't get burning or anything building up on the bottom and stuff like that. That my idea that I originated the pot, I hadn't thought about the build-up on the bottom. And that wouldn't work for cleaning. Because the thing swimming around, basically like dropping a goldfish in to make the goldfish cook your... Well, you'd cook the goldfish, but... A non-cookable goldfish basically stirring your food for you. It wouldn't work. So then, the thing is, then would you drop that idea because it doesn't then work for your cleaning and for your make sure the bottom doesn't...
Yeah, I can see that idea failing. You know, you now want to use this thing on like a nice thick sort of soup thing in wintertime with like, you know, chunks of potato or something in it, and all of a sudden this mechanical stirring goldfish thing just ends up, you know,
it's
being the guppy monster stuck in the corner. Keep on swimming.
All right, but then we're okay, so all right,
how
so,
do we recover this, Mr. Sheckman? We need something to go on here.
All right, then, but then let's get back to the medical side of things where maybe I mean, okay, so we can't, we're not too worried about passing magnetic fields through people, how MRIs work.
Yes.
So if you, you know, you, the whole thing is you can't put a tablet the size of your thumb to a person, cool, let's just go explore your aorta.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, if you were to use any form of magnetic type stuff, the human body is basically the stuff which you access is tubes.
Yes.
And I mean, yes, if you had a steel screw stuck in your ear, you could use a gentle magnetic force to pull it out because you're pulling it down the tube. You could also put a magnet on the other side of your head if you really wanted to pull some form of thing into it, but you know, how would you manipulate the force without causing damage?
No, exactly.
And then if you were to try and track something you know, through your blood vessels or whatever, the magnet along the surface would tend to pull the thing upwards, not really along.
I'm thinking in this case here is, you know, is it, I mean, what you've got is you've got a rotating field here. It's not pulling the nut forward. It's rotating. It's causing that one to rotate.
Yes.
It's not trying to pull it through. So I think, I need to now brush up my magnetism stuff and fundamentals. But it's the, because there's a rotating
You could make field. It spin, but I can't, I think there would be some form of attractive force. I don't think
I imagine there would be an attractive force, but I think your body's strong enough that it shouldn't, it's not pulling
I think
the
it
stuff.
Depends what you're trying to do.
No, I think it does. Yeah. Okay. So, maybe
I mean, for
not
example, if you know, you got shot with a steel bullet, you might be able to use magnets to try and withdraw bits and pieces out. But other than that, you'd have to really think about it. An application of a thing like this in, let's say, space, if you have to do a repair with those gloves, I'd hate to try and use like 3mm screws and shit with those gloves. I mean, obviously there are tools
built in for it, and they've
made it that you can't drop them and all that sort of stuff. But something where it's a quick release thing with a gizmo like that, there might very well be application. But I'm not sure if you were to spin and create a magnetic force here, what happens to solar panels and other lightweight stuff?
I think the problem there is that there is no dominant acceleration occurring. In other words, gravity is not at play. Well, gravity is at play, but your dominant acceleration 9.81 is not in play.
Yeah.
So you start spinning your drill, you're then going to start rotating along with it. So you then have to hold yourself in place.
Yeah, that's one thing from that is you didn't really notice the guy struggling with the back torque, but it could be that with enough practice you make it.
Yeah, you
just get
it.
Yourself an old NFL coach and you won't feel it.
Wrist thicker than his neck.
Try it at home. You'll have to, you know, do the two-hand Glock squeeze to hold it in place.
Okay, so. I mean, for what I think there could be applications in space, I'm pretty certain they probably would already have it. I think that's certainly one I think is a...
I think a lot of the quick release things were probably invented for up out there where you're kind of one-handed. Clunky gloves and stuff like that.
But, you know, it brings up an interesting sort of point. You think, okay, cool, the gloves make this sort of thing difficult. Yeah, from an interesting problem identification standpoint, you should then, I'd rather start saying, okay, cool, why not, instead of reinventing every single tool... Let's reinvent the glove so that
the glove
that you can then use every normal tool because the glove feels less clunky, less I can't grip properly or I can't put my finger through a trigger or something. You make it so that, you know, it's just, it's, it's where polymer identification can send you down two different routes. One, I'm going to design a different glove. Two, I'm going to design a new set of tools for ISS or space travel. Or even three, as you said, I'm going to make the person's hand become a tool. Whether it's, I don't know if you have had this thing.
Fold out spanners and screwdrivers from the back of your hand or whatever the case
happens
to be.
Or like, I don't know if you ever played them as a kid. There was those toys, you put it on your hand and then you had little rings, put your finger through the ring, and then as you move that, there was another hand further out. You effectively extend the hands and basically replicate them. And then now you can have very minute sort of digits and stuff. And I mean, I don't think they're too difficult to make, but you're going down very different sort of paths for design and stuff like that. But I mean, in terms of other applications then, from a like something like this directly, so not even just magnets, how to use magnets to undo things, you know, research equipment, I could see an advantage where you want, say, a wing that is a smooth surface. You don't want the protuberances from various elements and things in your nuts and bolts and where you have to keep covering with wax. That I can see an advantage. And okay, so and that's one where you are disassembling, reassembling on a semi-continual basis. But that's where you could basically you don't have to have a giant drill, just zap, 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 take your wing off.
And I think if you could make it that the safety system for something like that is that you'd use a magnetic field to tighten it up, but unless you had a magnetic field, it can't work itself loose.
How would it work itself loose?
So I'm imagining, let's say, like an electromagnetic locking nut. You turn it off. You now put in your magnetic fastener. You then just, as part of the aircraft electrics, activate the electromagnet, which basically, when it's on, it doesn't really draw too much power to keep it there. And then the magnetic fastener can't vibrate loose or work loose because it's a magnetic. Because otherwise, all of the traditional kind of locking things, which are mechanical lock nuts or safety wires. Well, if you can access it with safety wire, you can access it with a spanner type thing.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, for really, really intricate, I mean, I can see for all kinds of repairs and things like that, you could probably use something like that.
But again, then you'd have to start taking
I definitely things. Want to try one myself to see how much torque you can get on
how
it.
How much torque, how big
know,
is
how
it?
How good is it at misalignment and all that sort
Actually, yeah, misalignment's another thing entirely because it's not something where, you know, whatever the bolt is going into is a pre-made system. It needs to be. So your misalignment is something you have to independently drill. You can't just drill and say, okay, it's a bit off, but just keep powering through and I'll just power through and just grip the rest of the wood.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, having had a look at a space shuttle and all of those many, many tiles, and then you think, well, the accessibility, I mean, it's not like you see screw heads
they
and
were
stuff
adhesive,
sticking
though, out.
Well, you've got to stick them onto something and you've got to be able to get them off as well without ripping what's underneath. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there probably is a YouTube clip I can go and watch on exactly how they did it. But it's one of those where I highly doubt they picked the Greek oak from around the corner with this. Took him off his tiling business and said, we've got a challenge for you.
And then, I mean, let's not forget that there's always just the option of just using glue as your thing. I mean, with those blocks of wood, drill your hole, put glue, maybe what do you call those, like extensional rod things, whatever, just as an alignment element. But just using good old glue, you can clean it up, it looks just as neat. You can't take it apart, so you don't use this is not something, it is an element of, we do need it at some point to take it apart.
I think the issue with glue is the just the time for it to dry effectively, whereas this is zap, 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 your IKEA table is built and done.
And okay, so I mean, it brings up, I'm going to keep going with lessons because I think some of our students still do need them. What we're just identifying here are the various criteria. Yeah. We're identifying things in terms of what time, cost, mass, torque required.
So glue's a bit messier than that, and there's definitely more skill required.
Certainly, and then it also carries a very different load. Yeah. So if you gluing two blocks of wood together, they're good in axial.
And glue is not very good for filling gaps. Whereas that, if your fastener pulls tight, load is transferred even through a gap.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. The gap doesn't matter per se. And it's self-clamping, as it were. Glue, you need a separate clamp.
With glue, you need a separate clamp, particularly for things like table legs. I mean, one of the things over there was a table leg where, you know, that kind of joint, if you were to sit on it skew, even with that kind of fastener, it's just going to pull off. It's definitely a decorative table.
Yeah,
there's no there's no playing jumping castles on that thing. And for glue, it would be a tricky job to clamp it like that. And one bash with a vacuum cleaner and the glue would probably break, whereas that might be able to take a bit more energy.
Then let's look at it another way, an extension. Glue, you just re-glue it, depending on how bad the glue failed.
Well, glue allows for better repairability, whereas if you destroy that thing, it's probably whatever's in there is going to take out a gigantic chunk, which you'd probably end up gluing back in.
I mean,
you'd use glue to repair that.
In fact, you may use glue to put in your main nut, provided you don't accidentally get glue inside your thread, in which case that is permanent.
Yeah, you need a detailed look to see how they installed that thing. But I mean, that looks like it's uber quick factory insulation. You know, you route out a hole and then this thing is just probably a press fit.
I'd say press fit, maybe a what do you call those damn things?
And they've got all kinds of cool things with wood. Sort of harpoon type stuff that you push it in and then right at the end things deform, as we've had in a previous video, and then it kind of locks itself into the wood.
And all you need is, as your magnet comes, as your threaded bolt inside comes, moves, all it has to do is push against something else there. Although that would increase the amount of torque you need, because now it's not just freely rotating in an element and pulling two elements together, it's also pushing two elements outwards into a...
It could work like the way that some camping equipment works, that as the thread goes through, there are like two little bearing balls down at the bottom, and all that happens is as the bolt comes through, it basically pushes them out into little divots, and then the thing can't twist at all.
It's assembled. It is technically still needing that force in order, you know, if those things are freely moving, they aren't serving any purpose.
Yes.
So that there is still a element of whatever that force is, the force required you need to push on that bearing.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's added an extra element to that.
One other thing I've just thought about is that would work bloody brilliantly for aluminium furniture and wood furniture, but that little magnetic spinning thing is not going to work on your steel stuff.
No, but that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. It's anything of a metallic type material, iron based, it's not going to work.
Your drill will stick to it like wonderfully.
And the other thing is, let's start considering what happens when you spin a magnetic field next to a conducting material. You generate a current.
Yeah, you do.
So
students, please don't try and say, I've got a 300 watt drill. If I spin it, I can get 300 watts out of my drill into the apartment block, and then I can extract it. I can charge my phone by plugging it in and spinning this drill in the middle of the room. It doesn't work like that.
I mean, it works, but the net Q, your net E is in the wrong sort of direction to what you really want. So,
plus, there are lots of animals, cats, famously, pigeons, etc. That sense of Earth's magnetic field. I can see that if you've got a New York skyscraper where everyone on Boxing Day is busy assembling their Christmas presents with these things, every pigeon in North America will get lost that day or something.
Yeah,
the fuck is Central Park?
I mean, it's a sort of like when I talk about big picture, the big picture consequences. I don't think I'd put that on my list of let's worry about the pigeons here on Christmas.
But you see, Mr. Sheckman, you have to think about all of the users of the design. What if this is an outside table for birds?
Well, I'm not assembling it. It's not like this thing is hovering up and down on magnets. In which case, I fully agree that would be a role.
You end up with every Boy Scout in the area with their compass doing orienteering on the weekend getting lost.
Because in their backpack, they got magnets just flicking around. Exactly. Yeah, just pointing to each other. All right. That topic, I think, has served its point. Thanks so much for listening. We'll definitely catch you on the next one. Cheers. Realize actually going into that, we didn't have a topic going in, so that worked out quite nicely.
Yeah.
Any idea topic for
I do.
Cool. Okay. Well, we'll run with it. Go. Sounds good.